Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life with your host Avik. This podcast is all about exploring the latest research, sharing personal stories and providing personal tips for improving our mental health and well-being. Each episode will be joined by experts in the field of mental health as well as individuals who have experienced the transformative power of a healthy mind firsthand. Together, we will dive into a range of topics from managing stress and anxiety to building resilience and cultivating happiness. So, join us on this journey to discover new ways to take care of our minds, bodies, and souls. And let's work together to create a healthier, happier world one episode at a time. So, let's get started. Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life. I'm your host Avik, where we explore the keys to holistic well-being and the personal growth. So today we are joined by Jali Vesela. So welcome to the show, Jali.
Hello Avik and Healthy Mind people. I'm so happy to be here and do some healthy minding with you.
Lovely. So Jali, like before we start our conversation, because today we'll be talking about something great about the energy mastery for the sustainable success, and also we'll be nurturing about vitality and harmony in life and the business. But before we delve into it, I would love to mention this to all of our listeners that Jali is a clairvoyant prosperity and energy mentor who is dedicated to empowering conscious entrepreneurial women. So with the expertise in clairvoyant studies and mindfulness, she guides her clients to unlock the intuition, elevate the income, and reclaim the time. Yes, you heard it correct. So despite the personal struggles, her journey led her to discover the transformative power of meditation, mindfulness, and the energy work. So why to wait? Let's join us as we delve into her insights on energy healing practices, mindfulness techniques, and the boundary setting, and about its strategies for a vibrant life. So welcome to the show again, Jali.
Avik, thank you so much. It's such a great topic. It gets my soul and body excited to be talking about how we can sustain energy, right? Because you can hear about that a lot in the outside world. We go talking about how we can sustain farming or producing plastics, but we haven't got to ourselves yet. And yet we are the creators or co-creators of this earth world we are in. So thank you for that topic.
Lovely. Really lovely. This is this topic. Yeah, definitely lovely. And when you are with us, so definitely there are a lot of things to learn. So we'll start with if you can share with us your journey of discovering the importance of energy mastery for the sustainable success.
Yes, so I started from the mind, which most of us do, because that's the way we are taught. Yeah. And if you started from the mind, then set the intention not to do it from the mind, because that doesn't get you there. It could be your entering point, but it's not a point that navigates you well. And then I realized through the energy studies, which were like the fourth step on my journey, I first went through psychology of the mind, then I went through mindfulness, being present, feeling the feelings in the body, then I went into pranic studies, being aware that energy can be moved and healed with, and then, only then, when I was about 30 years old, I realized that, okay, well, there is more to energy, there is more to mind, and we are more than the body, we are more than the mind, way, way more, and we are energy beings in a body. So that was how I got into the energy world, realizing that there is more. There was the clairvoyant studies, which basically is stepping into our deep intuition and the deep intuition of the energy field around us that carries information. And that's how I started. That's how I got there. And it was incredible. It was like discovering, and it still is, like living in a different dimension or extra dimension.
Lovely, lovely. So, I mean, also this thing is coming to my mind, like, what according to you are some of the common misconceptions about energy management in both the personal and the professional spheres?
That's such a great question. So I would say, first of all, people don't consider their energy. What we do most of the time, because we're not taught to it, there still isn't enough education about us having energy within us and being energy beings. We go disregarding how where first the body feels, and considering its energy flow, and then let alone that we are energy beings as if living in containers that the bodies are, and we are way bigger than that. So what happens as the first mistake is living the doing life, not the being life, and going from one task to another, not regarding how the body feels. I remember so clearly, I must have been maybe 12 years old because I was a nerd from the beginning. I started reading and delving into books when I was about 9 years old. And then I went to do university studies when I was already just 13. And I'll be coming home, looking at my feet and thinking, oh my God, we live in these bodies, but we don't really respect how they feel. We just try to keep going regardless of the pains, tiredness, the messages that the body may be giving us. And with that, we are missing out on great navigation. And it's a bit like if you were married and you wouldn't really talk to your spouse and you would just expect everything would be flowing really well. Or if you were living in a house and you never cleaned it, never checked what's in the corners. So that would be the first mistake, the first misconception. And let me mention one more that's really important. So people go thinking often that energy is tapped from the outside, and that you need, now the one I hate most when I ask people, how do you get more energy in your body? And they go, well, I'll have some coffee. And that's okay. I'm not completely against coffee, but I think there should be really big awareness of how coffee works. People don't realize it because coffee is like a credit card on energy.
Exactly.
And you need,
I do
yeah,
agree with
go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm saying, like, I do agree with you because coffee is something, it's full of energy. Like, so currently I'm not into gymming, but earlier when I was doing into, so my daily routine was like, before I hit the floor, I'll have a cup of black coffee and it's full of energy.
Right. And have you noticed the payment it requires, the interest rate? That, and with that, I'm really not saying like that no one should drink coffee or coffee shouldn't be present in our lives, but it's a drug. It's a drug, and we should be treating it as such with awareness of how it works. And so yeah, so and you can all really energize yourself without coffee if you're taking care of yourself. Today I was explaining to one of my clients who wakes up early and is a carpenter, so he needs loads of physical energy, and sometimes the body is tired if he hasn't slept well, that instead of coffee, and he already stopped drinking coffee in the morning and the afternoon too, for the practice that we do of balancing the energy, that he can do breath work, he can do bathroom. The bellows breath, which is called the yogi coffee. So we did practice of that, and that's how you can align and create energy from within. So that's like creating wealth within you and tapping into that rather than using a loan, which, by the way, again, I'm not against loans. They can be used against beautiful investments. Now then you want to think about what you're using your loan for.
Yeah, exactly. True. Lovely. So, okay. So how do you think, I mean, the mindfulness practices contribute to nurturing the vitality and harmony in life and business?
I wish there was way more mindfulness awareness. I was talking to someone yesterday who does Scrum Mastering, which is a system how you organize teams in corporates.
True.
And I have friends who have done this job. So I asked this person, so do you do it with mindfulness? And this person didn't know how mindfulness worked even. So I know, right? And it's cooperation of teams. So this is bringing teams together or one team and having them communicate well about their tasks and having them communicate well about the deadlines and the workflow. But also, and that's what's missing in business really often, being aware of how you feel with the communication and expressing it where needed, expressing boundaries of tasks, of workload, of hours, of how things need to be done, expressing when you know that the way we are doing things are not efficient. So being mindful, which from which stems also being compassionate, is a level that goes after, is being present to everything that is happening, not trying to brush it under the carpet. And from a neutrality perspective, which is probably the hardest part for us humans, because we like to identify so much with our feelings, with thoughts, with what people say about us. From neutrality perspective, you go passing on what you believe needs to be done and how you feel in situations. So that would be mindfulness in teams, right? How you go starting off with being more present, and from that, the cooperation and the workflow is way more efficient. Then within you yourself, you go treating it similarly. So today I was with a client who works as a leader in an aviation company, and she's a female leader in a country, and there's many, many countries still around the world where females don't have leading positions as often yet. And her programming is, as women often are huge givers, and she's very aware of the mindfulness is there now already, that originally she wants to be basically taking care of everyone, taking every request she gets, working any hours that are needed. And the mindfulness in there is realizing, okay, so how long, how far does my energy last during a day, during the week, honestly, so that I can do this work joyfully, so that I can communicate with everyone and deliver everything joyfully. That's a really tricky, and it could be your mind fighting with it question, because we don't even realize we could be working joyfully. And then you realize you can't really do that many tasks. There is no need that you talk to Mr. B today or in that manner, or that you let him talk to you that way. There is no need for you skipping lunch. Actually, that's undermining your energy and what you can deliver to the others, and with that, to the world. And there's no need for you to be working Saturday, because then if you do, you're going to be more tired on Monday and you will not deliver such good work even if you clock the hours. So, yeah, go ahead, please.
I'm listening.
So that's doing it with yourself, work-wise, being aware. And there's a whole concept I teach in my masterminds and in my courses and one-on-ones, how to really map the energy that you have, which, by the way, changes as you go. And it changes in women more than in men because of the emotional center that's 30% different, and the chemicals from that into the body get released differently. But the basics of that is realizing really how much energy a day, a week, you can joyfully give to something. And then from that point, from starting with you, not starting responding to the others as the first instance, you go creating the workflow and the communication with others. So it sounds to lots of people selfish, because we are not really taught to think about ourselves, but it's really the logic of the oxygen mask on the plane, that you first need to take care of yourself and then you can deliver to others well.
So, great. I mean, a lot of things, you have explained it properly. Also, like, and I'm thinking, like, if you can also share some of the practical energy healing practices that listeners can incorporate into their daily routines?
So, first of all, regarding energy, you want to open to the logic that there is energy within you and around you. And it's not just how tired you are and how much food you had, whilst that is really important to consider. You are way more than energy. When we go looking at it from way more than the body, when you go looking at it from the metaphysical point of view, we believe in metaphysics that there is about of your existence, about a 98% of energy. And only 2% of matter. So you want to be aware of that, whether that is tangible for you, whether that is mind graspable for you or not. And then based on that, you don't really need to go deep into how spiritual it is or if there's a deity engaged in that. If you just go being really analytical, that's your thing, which most of us this day and time are, then just go ahead and realize, okay, well, there is more than me than the body. And how about we take the stance that energy goes reacting to how I think, because your thinking is the vehicle. It's like the steering seat of where we're going, what can happen. And then how I think and how I see the energy flowing to me goes influencing what is possible. So set the intention that anytime that you are taking a little time off, as you're breathing in, the air has energy inside, it has prana, it has the life energy, and that goes nourishing you and aligning you. That's how easy you can start. You can also start by observing your thoughts, because every thought has an energy vibration, has an energy charge. If there are loads of thoughts within you that are negative or they are catastrophizing, they are not in the present moment, they are creating scenarios 2 steps after what is happening now, and they are negative, you want to be aware of that. That goes actually bringing down your vibrations, and with that, how happy you feel in the body. So then you can go set the intention. Okay, let me observe that again. As neutrally as possible, as if you're watching yourself, being amused at yourself, like, oh, okay, I'm doing this in this lifetime. Oh, that's interesting. I go thinking continuously that, I don't know, my hips are wide or I can't make enough money, whatever your thing is. And then decide that you will retrace those thoughts as you go. So there'll be the 2 things I would say that you want to be, you can start with if you're not doing it. If you did start and you left it off somewhere because the human life took over, come back to it, because this can change your everyday life. How you perceive that there is energy in the air and can heal you by just you breathing, whether you do meditative practice or not, or just sitting with your eyes closed. And then your thoughts. And I would mention one more. What the probably the dining and buying practice. So as there is energy in your food, in your money, in everything, when you dine, and Indians have beautiful practice when they go sitting down in front of the meal. Well, in the Vedic practices. They go sitting down and they go making either a loud singing or in their mind prayer. What you do with that, you go energizing the food actually. So that's why it's done. What you do with that too, you're taking a moment to appreciate where the food came from, that there went liters of water in it. Did you know it's like 20,000 liters into 1 kilo of potatoes, I think. It's something crazy. And then someone had to bring it to you. And someone cooked it for you, whether it was you or someone else. There were resources into the cooking or cutting. And all of that is beautiful and a miracle. And when you bring the awareness, which can be seconds, you don't need to sit on this contemplating for minutes or hours, when you bring that, you're already energizing the food and bringing higher vibrations into that. And of course, then what goes into your body goes energizing the body depending on the vibrations that it had to start with. So, and you can do this with everything. You can do it like when you go and buy your bananas in the store, just bring the awareness to its bloody amazing that there are bananas in stores these days. When you think about where we came from, that they were just on the trees, you would have to go all the way to the tree in the next village and then bring it, you know, I don't know, 2 hours on a in a basket on your head. And now most of us can go into a store and buy bananas, right? And then there is the whole technology of swiping cards that you can buy it, or the money that you pull out. All of that is a miracle. So if you bring awareness to how complex and beautiful everything is, and that goes bringing you high vibrations and energy and appreciation for everything around you. And you can do the same with money. When you're paying someone, you can go thinking, oh, it's so beautiful that I can pay the money. There's so many people, and most people actually, they go laughing at me when I say in the store, when I come into a cafe and I'm sitting down, people often ask me, do you want to pay now or later? And I'm like, I want to pay now. I love paying. And I'll pay you again if I buy something else. And they go looking at me sometimes sarcastically. Oh yeah, we all like paying. I'm like, no, I really like paying. And you know why I like paying? Because I know what it means. I know it means that the universe through me delivered to me the means to get something. And then I can enable the flow of this beautiful providing energy to this cafe that can pay for the electricity, for the milk, for the people, and then nourish the families through that. And if you kind of buying that tea or your coffee with that idea, but that's just so much more vibrant. It's such little things, and you don't need to really sit in it again for minutes and hours. It's just a little thought when you're giving the money there that goes creating high vibrations.
Exactly true. Lovely. That's really, really great. So, I mean, how do you recommend setting the boundaries to protect and preserve our energy, especially in the high stress environments?
First of all, for protection, when people go tapping into the energy world, there are loads of ideas about protection, and our ego mind likes to think it's hard to grasp, so it gives up on it, or it likes to feel endangered. You want to come with a logic that you are primarily protected. And I can really see it with people who think like this, that things don't happen to them. And then sadly, people who think like women who think they can get victimized, they really something happens to them on the street once or twice a life at least. And to the others, it doesn't. So you want to come with the idea in your mind to everything that you do that you are protected, that there is no way that something can happen to you. And if it does, it's going to happen for the best and you're going to come out of it on the top and resolve it. So that would be the general kind of energy, being afraid that something happens to me, protection. Then relating to the boundaries, you want to be tapping in generally. And then every day I do a little practice at the end of my meditation in the morning. What is it that I want to be doing today to support myself? And by that, I go also adjusting the hours and investing into my work or my education. And based on that, I go saying no to things or yes to things. So say more yes or no, depending on how you feel. And the feeling you want to distinguish, because it's confusing of who is talking when you feel, if it's your ego, if it's the human part that gets tired and that wants to achieve and that's scared, or if it's your deep intuition self, the energy part that's 98% of you, and that part is more quiet. So you want to listen to the more subtle yes or no of what's necessary to do that day. And go ahead and abide by it. What happens is that during the human day, we may have an idea that we may just want to work, I don't know, 7.5 hours. And then someone steps in and says, oh, Avik, can you do this for me? And your ego mind that comes from the programming of a tribe where you don't want to be outed, where you want to keep belonging, goes thinking, oh, I have to do this for him because otherwise I may miss out. I may not be able to stay here. I may not be able to get food. And consciously, you just get really, I need to do this. You don't get the whole trail of thoughts really. But you want to go back to, okay, but I wanted to work today just 7.5 hours. So let's say to this person that we'll do it tomorrow, or check in if your energy got somehow recharged during the day, but be honest with you and stick to it. And the way I like to compare it to is when you are, and maybe some mothers will hate me for this, but I really believe in that. When you're training sleep with little kids, with little children, so what I believe works best is when you let the child cry so that they can sleep, because what they're doing, they're learning the boundary between them and yourself, and they're learning self-soothing. So if you do let them cry, there are different theories on how you should do that, if it's in intervals or if it's all immediately, all at once. If you let them cry, it's like the energy field, it's like this person who wants something from Avik, and you're saying, no, not today, not now. We are going to sleep and we're going to wait until you have fallen asleep. And then tomorrow we'll come back to it. So you want to be you want to be strong with that. Otherwise, the kid is a really good example. Animals will push your boundaries again and their boundaries too, and they will not grow through it. I hope this metaphor was it was good enough. Was it clear, Avik? Didn't I
Yeah,
get too down the rabbit hole with that? Okay.
exactly.
Yes. Yeah. Or with you know, if you are like me, like loving cakes, but you know that 7 cakes a week are not good for you, you want to be strong with yourself and really ask, is a cake good for me today? And then stick
Sometimes
to
I
that.
definitely love it. Sometimes I definitely love it because I try to avoid more sweets, but it's because of an Indian. Sweets are part of our life, but I know this is not very good for health. But yes, I mean, sometimes I cheat and have during my dessert.
And you should sometimes cheat, because part of the soul being in a body is experiencing everything that the human life has to give, right? But you don't want to fall for the trap of what everything the body can experience, because 5 cakes a day are not fun anyway. 7 a week may be fun, but they are not fun for your long-term energy and how your body works. So that you want to know, okay, how many cakes a week are good for me? Well, for me, it's on average 2 cakes. So if I want to have a third cake, I really go ask my intuition to. We need this cake today. And that, yeah, I usually hear no, or I can mindfully decide to be mindless and go like, okay, well, we have the cake today. And then, yeah, we probably be good if we go for a good walk tomorrow. That's extra to work it out. So that's just an example. Like, I really don't believe that cakes are the biggest breaking point, even though your nutrition should be part of your energy sustaining. But yeah, it's keeping the boundaries and also observing them, what they should be like today, this week, and generally.
Yeah, exactly. Great. That's really lovely. So, what advice do you have for the entrepreneurs or the professionals who are looking to enhance their energy management skills for the long-term success?
I would say always engage your intuition. Make it a practice every day to be tapping into the subtle voice in you of what's good for you to be doing now. Also, within that, be aware that you are way more than the mind. You are way more than the thoughts. You are way more than the environment. And because of that, way more is possible for you than you think. So, from this grandioseness of what everything you are, why don't you ask every day from my royal and energy, kind of the big, what is possible for me today and how can I support it? So that would be the first one. The second one, so that's something you want to tap into every day. If it's a part of your meditation or contemplation, keep coming back to it. The second one is don't get ridden over by the human world, having too many tasks, having too many invitations. Just keep coming back to your center and to your vision of what you want your business, what you want your dream to look like, and know that it's already done. From the metaphysical perspective, there is no time actually. The moment you have thought that you want a $500,000 business, that is done in a different dimension. That's why you are getting the thought. The thought is just a messenger telling you, hey, Avik, this is possible for you. It's done somewhere else. So stay with the navigation. And at the same time, there's a tricky part that I teach a lot. Be present. Be present in the body, in your situations, in communication with people. And then keep looking for new ways to improve yourself and the business, because where you want to be, you will not have got to by how you got here. You got here because you changed something. You changed something, so you got new delivery of goodness, of more money, more clients, more ideas, whatever it is. To get to the next big point, you will need something else. So just stay open to it coming, whether it is education, communication with someone, some partnership, or maybe just finding a way of your self-care and some education.
Exactly. It's lovely. So great. That's really nice of you talking about the energy and at the sustainable success. So so definitely I extend my gratitude to our guest today, Charlie, for sharing her invaluable insights and the wisdoms. So always remember, dear listeners, that that we try to cultivate, right? So cultivating the energy mastery is not just about achieving that success. It's all about fostering the vitality, resilience, and harmony in every aspect of our lives. So by integrating the mindfulness practices, setting the boundaries, and also embracing that intuition, like Jali has mentioned, so we can definitely unlock our full potential and lead our lives filled with purpose and the fulfillment. So, but before we move in, I'll definitely love to ask Jali, like, suppose if someone wants to connect with you, someone wants to know more about energy healing and how it works, how to start something, so how they can connect with you.
So I think if your audience, anyone from the audience is ready, and if you're thinking about it, it means you're ready. If you're thinking that, oh, it's not for me yet, it means you're ready, just your ego is telling you no, it's trying to stop you, reach out on Instagram. My Instagram is Jali Energy, that's DJALI, like DJ Ali, and Energy, and send me a message saying Pivot, P-I-V-O-T, and I will send you a free class on how to get where I have got and those of my clients got by getting to higher income and working less joyfully. Now, I do loads of other things as well, but it is the main thing that I'm doing right now. So I would love to hear from you. I would love to see you on my Instagram. And in case you're not on Instagram, you can go to my website. My website is Jali.solutions. That's DJALI, like DJ Ali, dot solution. There's no .com. It's just dot solutions because I have solutions.
Exactly. So for the solution, I would definitely encourage all of you, all the listeners, to connect with Jali, have a session, learn about it. It's really, really great. I definitely encourage all of you. And what I'll also do for your convenience, I'll mention all these details into the show notes so that it will be much easier for all of you to reach out to Jali and learn about it. So we hope that the insights shared today inspire you to embark on your own journey of the energy mastery and the holistic well-being. And do not forget to subscribe to our podcast for more interesting conversations on healthy mind and healthy life. So until next time, take care, nurture your vitality, and may the harmony guide your path to sustainable success. So till then, thank you so much.
Thank you, Avik.